Hi, and welcome to Centre Church. We hope that you enjoy this message recorded live from our Burgess Hill campus.
So we are continuing in our series on discipleship. Dust, we call it. The first time I saw it, I thought, what's dust got to do with it all? But for the sake of those who are not here for the very first session, it's about following Jesus up until the dust that is rising from his walk is falling all over you. That's what I got. I probably didn't get it quite right. But it's following so closely, that is, Jesus is walking and the dust is rising. It's setting all over you. And so it's a series on discipleship. And this morning, I have got the privilege of taking the third slot on this series. And I have, you know, I love little titles, but most of the times I don't quite get them right. So this morning, I've entitled it, The Walk of a Disciple. I think that's a fair enough title for this, for what we are doing this morning. We're going to read from Matthew chapter 28. There will be quite a bit of reading this morning, so bear with me, and I'll try and make everything fit in the time that I have. Matthew chapter 28, and I'll read verse 18 to verse 20. It says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So we are talking about the walk of a disciple. How does that look like? You know, these are the last part of the last words that Jesus spoke just before he ascended to heaven. And there's one thing that we know. The words that are said last, the last words, they hold water, they are powerful. For me, I've got words that I still hold on. That was the words that my grandmother sang as a prayer the last day I saw her. She spent the whole, you know, she prayed all the time, we sang all the time. But that particular song is stuck with me. Why? Because it was her last words. And the words of those, it's a song in my native language. But literally translating it, it says, "Lead her, Lord, in all her walk. Throughout this life, may she walk with you." So those words are stuck with me, and they sustain me when I'm going through rough times. I remember, my grandmother prayed. Not only there's lots of people praying for me, but she also prayed, and she prayed these things. So that's one thing. These are the words of Jesus that he gave to his disciples, which we know as the Great Commission. He said these words as his last will, should I say. And the powerful thing about this, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples." So when we are talking about discipleship, we are talking about something that is the heartbeat of Jesus. He says, "Go make disciples." And then he says, "Go and teach them." And then one thing, I've put something there which I said, converts or disciples. Both of them are required and they are good. But the call that we see on the last words of Jesus, it's a call to discipleship. One thing that happens, you know, there's a difference between converts and disciples. When we become converted or when we make the choice to follow Jesus, we become converts. But now, if we remain as converts, there is something that we are missing, because the conversion itself is the start, is like entering a door. But when you enter the door, you need to explore what is inside that door. So discipleship is about exploring what's in the inside of where you have entered into. Praise God. So when we remain as converts, or when we are happy that, oh, I'm converted, I'm on my way to heaven, in some way, there's a problem with that, because you will still be brutalized by life without an understanding of what is it that the salvation that you have received entails. But discipleship puts you in a path where you start to explore and to understand, what is it that I have been converted into? What is it that I have come into? I normally use the illustration when I married Joe
close to 30 years now.
When I married Joe 29 years ago,
I became a wife. I was pretty young. But the day that I got married, in my head, I was no longer a little girl. I was now a married woman. Did I know what it meant to be a married woman? That was another thing to explore, and I'm still exploring to this day. So I always think that's exactly the same thing. Married 30 years ago, but even now, 30 years later, I'm still trying to find out. And I still read books, what it looks like to be a good wife. And I have bought some books for Joe, and I've gave him what it looks like to be a good husband. So what am I saying? When we come to Jesus, we have started a pathway. So it's not a matter of, I'm not a disciple, I'm going to hell. No, you are saved. But do you have a clue of what it looks like or what it means that you are now saved? What does that look like? In the same way, did I have a clue what it looks like to be a wife and how the journey would look like? I had no clue, but I had to spend the years exploring. So when we become converted, when we turn to Jesus, we enter into that walk, the walk of discipleship, where we are starting to understand, yes, I'm already a child of God. Yes, I am justified, if we want to use technical terms. Yes, I'm the righteousness of God. But have I got a clue what it looks like to live that out in everyday life? And that is what discipleship is about. Praise the Lord. So I said, discipleship or convert. The convert, we all have been converts. But the idea is we are not meant to stay there. We are meant to get onto a pathway to be disciples, to be followers, to be learners, to grow and to get to understand what the whole idea of becoming a Christian or a follower of Jesus looks like. I pray that we are moving together. So I said, salvation is instant, but sanctification is ongoing. So marriage is instant, but becoming a wife is ongoing. That is the idea that we are bringing. So it is possible to be converted and become a Christian and carry the title. Yes, you are in Christ, you are forgiven, but still not experiencing the fullness of the joy and the peace and the liberty that knowing Christ brings. Because those are the things that we start to open up and to learn and to grow into as the years go by, as you take the commitment to walk with Jesus. And that can be a dangerous thing to be in. To say, I believe in Jesus, I'm in Christ, and then you don't grow. You don't know what it means. What does it mean to be a Christian? What kind of victory? When I say I have authority in Jesus, it ceases to be something that we speak with the mouth, but we get to walk to the walk and to understand. When I say I walk in authority, what does that mean? What does the Lord require of my life as somebody who has taken their life to Christ? So the ultimate goal of discipleship is to grow in the knowledge of God, is to have our lives transformed into the image of Christ. I'm going to read quickly Colossians chapter 2, and it's verse 6 to 7. It says, "And as you have therefore received Christ Jesus," in other words, as you have converted, as you have become a convert, as you have received Christ Jesus. And then the instruction says, so walk in him. It doesn't end by coming to Christ. But after coming, there is a walking that is needed. Walk in him. And the second thing it says, become rooted and built up in him. This is what discipleship is about. We have been converted. We have come in. But now we need to walk the walk. And that walk is about walking with Jesus, learning from Jesus, growing from Jesus. And the next part, becoming rooted and built up. You know, one thing, when there is a wind that is blowing outside, we hear about trees that have fallen. The reason is those trees are not rooted enough to withstand the storm and the rain when it comes in a harsh way. So when we are walking the walk of discipleship, we are becoming rooted. We are becoming built up and established in Christ because this life comes as a package of ups and downs, of things sometimes that will derail us, that will shake us, that will take us off guard or unexpected. But what is going to help us to remain standing when we walk through those things? It's the fact that we have become rooted, we have become established in Jesus Christ. And that is the idea. When we remain convert, we just convert without becoming disciples intentionally, we face the risk of being uprooted, brutalized, thrown by the wayside, taken by surprise. We need to be rooted, built up, and established in Christ Jesus. And then, yeah, it says established in faith. So when we come to Jesus, what we confess is our faith that we confess. But now we need to grow in that faith. Because if that faith does not grow, like what Emma was saying, when things start to happen, it becomes difficult to continue to say Jesus is good. Or I walk with Jesus, I love Jesus. Why? Because there's something that is missing. The faith remained a baby. The faith needs to grow. So it says, become rooted, become built up in Jesus and established in the faith. Discipleship helps us to become established in what we are claiming to have come into. You know, one of the things sometimes that that bothers me, and I guess it bothers all of us as Christians, is when a sinner's prayer is done and then kiss goodbye, you are going to heaven, and that's the end. Storms will come, and that person will run back where they came from to try and find solutions, to try and find answers when life gets tough. But when we become rooted and established in Christ and we grow in the faith, when things arise, like what we heard this morning, I might not be trusting what God is doing, but I trust his heart. I trust his character. That comes as we become rooted, established in faith. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So discipleship allows us to get to know God, to experience the fullness of what our salvation entails. And it also helps us to integrate our faith with our everyday life. So that when we talk about a faith that we have, it's not an abstract idea. It's something that is intermingling with every day and everything that I am doing in my life. So I'm not a person of faith when I'm in church and then something different when I'm outside. My faith is mixed up with everything, how I carry myself, how I talk, how I build everything that is around me. And it is discipleship that helps us to translate that faith and to take the word of God and get to understand how those things marry together with the life that we are going in. So there's a few things I did say here. I did say in there, discipleship is following Jesus such that we become covered by the dust, which means even the life that we live, it says Jesus. Our relationships, they say Jesus. Our character, it says Jesus. I've got a list of a few things that I said. Discipleship covers, looks at all those things. It transforms our character. It gets into our relationships, how we carry our relationships, how we manage our homes and our marriages. It looks at how we handle challenges as they come in, how we deal with internal struggles. You know, it's really a shame if we come to Christ and spend years as believers, but we have got things that are locked inside, struggles that we had before we knew Christ, and we still continue to struggle with them. Nothing changing. You know, it's a journey, so they are not going to change overnight, some of those struggles. But as time goes by, they have to be a transformation in how we handle those things until we get to a place where some of these things, they disappear, they fall away because our faith in Jesus is taking over our lives. So I said, handling challenges, some internal struggles, mindset. This is another big one. We can be believers. You know, the Bible says, as the man thinks, so is he. So if our mind is not being transformed, we have got a problem that we can be believers, as we say, by our mouth. But if there is no discipleship work going on with the renewing of our minds, how we think, how we manage things, it will translate into a life that doesn't show what Christ, you know, the salvation that we have received in Christ. So I mentioned a few things: family, marriage, parenting, our spiritual stroke, prayer life, the use of our gifts. You know, the devil knows how to exploit what we have. If our gifts are not surrendered to the Lord, through the process of discipleship as well, as we grow, as we get to know, what is it I'm gifted to do? What is my talent? The enemy can take it and use it for his own good and his own kingdom. But if we bring those things, and those things are brought as we grow in Christ, those things will be will profit you as an individual, and will profit the body of Christ. Praise the Lord. So how does that work look like? I'm going to share three quick things. Three is not enough, but three is what I can fit in the time that is available. So that this is not exhaustive. This is just a few things to share. So I said the first thing, discipleship is a work of intentional growth. You know, things don't just happen. You plan for things to happen. You work for things to happen. You do something for something to happen. And so growth is the same. Yeah, you grow every day. Unintentionally, we grow. Maybe I should say, are we growing up or are we growing old? So growing old happens unintentionally. You don't plan to do it. You just wake up one day and things are changing. Or every day things are shifting. The look is shifting. That is growing old. But growing up needs intentionality. And the other way to put it, are we maturing or are we increasing in years? That's another way to put it. Years will increase whether we like it or not, but the maturing part of it, it's got a part that we intentionally work on. So discipleship helps us to mature and to grow in Christ. And that has to be an intentional thing that we do. God has provided us with everything that we need in order to grow as believers. We have already seen in Colossians chapter 2 that we read earlier on, that we need to grow, we need to be established, we need to be established, we need to be rooted. And those things happen through the process of growth. As we grow in our faith, we become established. As we grow in the knowledge of God, we are becoming built up in Him. And it's not something that we are doing in our own strength. We have got God who has given us everything that we need, which we are going to read just now from 2 Peter chapter 1. It's from verse 3. I'll read verse 3, skip verse 4 just so I save time, and then read the last part. This is what it says. It says, His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. God has done His part. And then it says, godliness, through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue. Then verse 5 says, but also for this very reason. I want us to realize, the start says God has done His part. Through Christ Jesus, He has given us everything. You know, we carry the Spirit of God. When we become converted, if I should say, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in us. And He becomes the teacher. He becomes the guide. He becomes the one who shows us how we should go. And then there is a part that we also have to pray, to play. This part is not a part for us to get saved, but it's a part for us to become established, rooted, and built up. And so this verse rounds all those things together by saying His divine power has given us everything that we need that pertains to life and to godliness. Verse 5 says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, this is now directed to us, add to your faith virtue, To your virtue, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, kindness. Kindness, love. And then verse 8 says, for if these things are yours and abound. Some versions will say, if all these things are yours in increasing measure, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful. In other words, you become rooted, established, and bring forth fruit of Jesus Christ. Bring forth fruit of what it looks like to become a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, my point here is God has done his part, but we have got a part to play. I continue to emphasize the part that we are playing has got nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is complete in Jesus, but our part is to become established, rooted, built up, and strong in him. And in doing that, he says, with diligence. That's another word to highlight from that verse. When you are doing something with diligence, you are doing it as though your life depends on it, because in fact it does depend on it. It depends. Our faith and our growth depends on how much we are willing to get into this. It's like a building project, you know. It's like a building project. You can have a great investor, gives you the money, everything that you need to build the building. But you also have got your part to play. And in this case, we can just say God has invested everything that we need to become those believers who are strong, established, and powerful, who are able to overcome. Why? Because he has given us everything we need. And so we are able to walk the walk. The idea is to become complete followers of Christ, transformed in every way, strengthened. So I did say the first point, which is we have got the walk of a disciple entails being intentional with our growth. So we are growing in the knowledge of God. We are doing it with diligence. We are growing into the image of Christ. We are growing in our mind that is being transformed into the image of Christ. Scripture says we have the mind of Christ. And it says the same mind that was in Christ Jesus. That is not something that is transplanted. It's a process of growth that brings us to that space where I can safely say, I have the mind of Christ. It's a process of growth that also gets through into the transformation of our minds. And the second thing, the walk of a disciple is a walk of obedience. You know, verse 20 in Matthew 28, the opening scripture that we read, it says, on verse 20, it starts by saying, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So that is also in the heart of Jesus, the obedience part of the equation. Because we are talking about what it looks like to be a true disciple. We said there is intentionality in growing, but there is also it is also a walk of obedience. Jesus said, teach them to observe what I have commanded you. So this walk, we can look at the walk of discipleship. Number one, we are disciples who are following Christ Jesus. But sometimes we can find as well that we can become people who are discipling others as well. But we are not discipling them to become like us. We are discipling them to show who Jesus is and how it looks like to become like Christ. So when it says teaching them, we did talk about the dust. We are not saying they should be covered by my dust because I'm discipling them. No, I am showing them how to follow Christ so closely themselves. And it says in doing that, we are teaching obedience, because it says teaching them what I have commanded you. Praise the Lord. So obedience is a life of complete surrender. Jesus says that if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. That kind of goes against what our current culture embraces, the word obedient in itself. People are scared when they hear it. But as disciples of Jesus, he calls us to be obedient to his word. He calls us to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him. He says to deny yourself. That's another thing. That's a very hard pill to swallow in our generation. To say, deny yourself. Because everything we hear is about yourself. But Jesus says, lay your own will aside. And denying yourself, it's all about saying, do you know what? This is what I really want to do. But nevertheless, at your word, Lord, I will do what you desire. God knows what is best for us, what builds us, what we require. And when we lay aside our will and take up the will of God as an act of obedience, our lives is being built up to set us up to win. Because most of the times, you know, what we think is good for us, sometimes you look back and you realize, actually, it wasn't. And obedience helps us to escape some of those things because we are following what the Lord requires. The Bible tells us, God speaking, he says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. The way God thinks and what God knows is right is completely different sometimes. And that is why as disciples wanting to be built up, established in our faith, we have got to walk the walk of obedience. Apostle Paul puts it this way. He says, it is no longer I who lives. That is, I'm talking about obedience. So Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross, follow me. Apostle Paul teaches in a different way. He says, in following Christ or in walking the walk of obedience, it is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives within me. Which means there are things that I like, that I desire, but I'm going to intentionally lay them aside. And I am going to allow Christ in me to be expressed in how I handle or how I deal with my life. And which is the next thing I said about obedience, to say it is about handling our lives and every aspect of our lives in accordance to the word of God. You know, it's whenever we are making a decision, obedience would say, what does the word say? What does the Lord require? And allowing scripture to be the ultimate authority in how we run our lives. We did put that list that we put earlier about things that we grow in, that we have got to see discipleship in, which were things about dealing with your struggles and challenges, family and stuff. So what I'm saying here is it's all those things when we are dealing with them, we are consulting what does the word of God say? What is it that the Lord, the word says concerning this particular aspect? And obedience takes that in place. John chapter 3, 31. I did say I've got a few things to read. John chapter 3, 31. It says, then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my words, and you are my disciples indeed. In other words, when he says the mark of a disciple is obedience. When we abide in his word, to abide is to live and to stay there and to sit there and to soak in there and to allow the juices of what you are soaked into to permeate into your whole being. It's like a tea bag sitting in hot water. It sits and it abides in that water until the water and the tea bag becomes one. And that is how how obedience looks like when we sit in the word of God until our life and everything about us just reflect who Christ is. And I said obedience is realizing that the culture that we are in is changing daily. And people's lives are being shaped by the direction of the prevailing culture. But obedience then turns and say, I'm not going to be built up, shaped by the culture that is outside there. I'm going to abide in the word of God and allow it to shape my culture. Allow it to shape everything that concerns me or that has got something to do with me. In one word, A.Z. Tozer, one of American evangelical pastor, I think, from the last century, he writes and he says, Christian maturity is not measured by how high we jump in worship, but by how straight we walk in obedience. So the walk of a disciple is a walk of obedience. That was point number two. Point number three, it is a walk towards complete freedom. I did say earlier on, you know, when we come to Christ Jesus, we become saved. We are in Christ Jesus. We are justified. We are the righteous of God. We are all those things. But we still have a work to do. And some of the things that continue to bind us or to hold us down as believers, they are things that we have not yet released to God. Or should I say, they are lies that we continue to believe, even though we are now in Christ Jesus. The process of the renewing of the mind is an ongoing process. Let's read this one before I the next scripture, which is John chapter 8, and it's verse 32. It says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." So we can be in Christ Jesus, saved and being the righteous at the righteousness of God by position. But if we do not hold on and or live by the truth of the word of God, we have a problem. Because whatever is not governed or managed by the truth of the word of God is probably being governed or managed by lies that we have always believed. Because before we come to Christ, or even when we are in Christ Jesus, there are things that happen to us sometimes that make us believe certain things which are actually not true. Some of those things can be basic religious lies, literally. To say, you know, I know God has forgiven me, but I can't do much because what I did before I knew Christ was too much. Or after I already believed God, I know there are things that I've done. They are so bad. I don't think I can go anywhere. And we feel guilt. We feel bound in that guilt, in the sin that we, in the things or the failures that we have done. The only thing that sets us free or that leads us to walk to the walk of freedom is when we start to allow the truth of the word of God to replace every lie that we hold on to. You know, every behavior and every attitude that we show is underpinned either by a certain truth that we believe or by a certain lie that we believe. So when I say discipleship is a walk towards complete freedom, I am saying is a walk of replacing every lie that brings a behavior that does not reflect who Christ is, and taking the truth of God to be where we are underpinned. You know, we can be believers and still bound by chains of addiction. We can be believers because, yes, we believed Christ, he lives in our heart. But we still carry some struggles that makes life impossible, if I should say. It could be, we can remain, some of us, the way we live our lives, maybe chained down by sin that we can't let go. And we are wondering, what's wrong with me? Sometimes it's the lies that we believe. And I did say some of it we could be slaves to addiction, slaves to our old lifestyles, or slaves to guilt of things that have happened in the past. How do we get freedom from those things? It says the scripture that we read, only the truth will set you free. So the path of discipleship allows you to start to explore the truth of the word of God. So you have come to Christ. Yes, you have got things and lies and bondages. Probably some of it is actually, we look back and say, this is what happened to every male person in our family to come to me. All the ladies in my family can follow. This is what you come to me. Those are some of the lies sometimes that keeps us bound. There could be things that we believe because it happened before in my family. It has happened to my aunties. It happened to my cousins, to my sisters. It's probably gonna come to me. That can hold us bound as believers. But the walk of discipleship puts us in a path where we are exploring the truth of the Word of God. What does it mean to become a child of God? What does it mean to become a new creature? Remember, that is what the scripture says. When one is in Christ Jesus, they have become a new creature. The old has passed away. So when we are walking the path of discipleship, you are exploring all those things. And sometimes we are addressing those things directly. Remember, we said one of the important things about discipleship is that we are taking our faith and we are bringing it to where we are, and we want it to intermingle and mix with our life. So it's your faith starts to mix with the way you think. The faith is mixing with the beliefs that you hold. And as that faith and the Word of God continues to be poured, as you continue to allow it to be poured, to speak and to minister inside our hearts, guess what? The lies starts to be displaced by the truth. But it's not only the truth that you know. It's not only the truth that you have heard, but it's the truth that you know. And knowing goes beyond hearing. Knowing talks about taking that truth and applying it to your own life. And as we start to do that, chains of bondage will start to come off. Praise the Lord. I pray that God is helping us this morning, because sometimes there are things that hold us back. Sometimes we sit when you're on our own, you're thinking, there must be something wrong with me. There must be something wrong. I need to find out if it's where I come from. If I want to go there, you all be shocked. Some of the lies that we believe connected, because this is my totem, this is what happens, this is what we do where I come from. Because this is what happened in the generations, this is coming to me. And I suppose for different people groups, the things that hold us down, they kind of differ. Shall I call them the strongholds kind of differ? But we can look and say, this is the trend of things that acts like strongholds in my life, or where I come from, or where I am born. The work of disciples gives us a chance to explore those things and take the Word of God and let the Word of God minister to those things and start to realize that just because my grandfather and my great uncle and my brothers were addicts, it does not translate that I will be an addict. It does not translate that my children will be addicts, because this has happened in the past, and that only happens when we start to take the truth of God and start to apply it in our lives. One of the things that the enemy uses is making us believe lies. And we believe those lies and we hold on to those lies. Some of those lies, they are actually religious in nature, but they are lies because they don't originate from the Word of God. So in our walk of discipleship, one of the things is really opening ourselves to the truth, so that some of the lies and the beliefs that have held us can start to break as the truth of the Word of God starts to minister into our hearts. Praise the Lord. You know, when the truth of the Word of God starts to permeate into our hearts, into our minds, taking over and pushing those lies we believe, chains of bondage will start to fall off. You know, we sing all the songs about, I hear the chains falling off, the chains have broken. Those can remain words as long as our lives is still underpinned on a lie that we believe. So the starting point of confessing with our mouth that the chains are falling off is taking the truth of the Word of God to replace the lies that we hold on to and let the Word of God minister to those things. In conclusion, you know, salvation is a holistic term. That's why I was saying to start off with, it's dangerous to just walk in, become a convert and rest. Because there is a whole field that we've got to explore, which is part of our salvation. And for us to do that, you know, sometimes as believers, we remain in chains, tied down. You know, it's just like, imagine you buy an all-inclusive holiday. Your flight is included, your food, your accommodation, your drinks, everything is included. If you don't turn up, those things are still yours. If you don't come in and start doing what you need to do, it doesn't mean those things are not there anymore. They are there, but they need you to diligently do something about it. And sometimes I look at our salvation and I see we have got a big package, a gift that we have received. We are saved. But our lives sometimes, they are kind of blocked because we have not opened and explored the whole package so that we can start to experience the fullness of what it is to be in Christ Jesus. So walking as a disciple puts us in a path where we can experience the fullness of what the Lord requires. Praise the Lord. Somebody might be thinking, what do I do? That's the kind I want. That's the kind of belief I want. You know, the good thing is, do you know the fact that we come and we sit in church and we listen to the word of God? That's a good starting point. And even in this church, we have got the women's group, the youth ministry. When you look at those things, literally what we are doing, we are trying to come together, bring together people with similarities in a certain way so that we start to learn from each other, encourage each other, and grow in those things. But there could be somebody who is saying, do you know what? I have got some struggles that I need someone to talk to. I've never trusted anybody. You know, sometimes the journey of discipleship, you just need someone to put your hand in and let them walk the walk with you. Let them help you through. Maybe this morning there could be somebody like that. Don't let this time pass you. I have confidence the reason why this was brought to us about discipleship. There are some among us who are probably thinking, I'm feeling lost. I need somebody. I need someone I talk to regularly. I need someone to listen to some of the struggles that I'm having to deal with. I think our pastor would really love to talk to you. Don't let this moment pass you. Or maybe there could be somebody who's saying, me, I don't even know, even if I'm a convert. The walk of discipleship, the starting point, because who we are following with is Jesus himself. And the starting point is to enter that door by receiving and accepting Jesus. And this morning you could be thinking, I'm not even sure whether I know Jesus. This is your moment. Don't let this moment pass. Would love to pray with you and point and just to help you with the walk of growing in Jesus Christ. There is a freedom in knowing Christ and with walking with him. As our band is going to come and start playing, it could be a moment where you just think, I want to bring myself. I just want God to just help me. Or I want to relook at my walk. Maybe I have been walking, but I kind of became used to the whole thing, and I'm just doing my own thing. You know, we can become professional Christians, especially when you've been a Christian for a long time. But sometimes we need to stop and say, who am I following? Where I am at in my life?
Following today's message, if you are asking what's next, please do not hesitate to contact us at info@center-church.uk. For any more information or to find out more of what we do as a church, check out our website at www.centerchurch.uk.